Psalms chapter 85, begin reading in verse number 6. You can go ahead and be seated. Psalms 85, we'll read verse number 6. The psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Amen. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now Haggai chapter number 2, we'll look at verse number 3, where the Bible says this, the question is asked, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And do you see it now?" I think that's a valid question we should ask ourselves tonight. Who is here tonight that has saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? The psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, on something that I need, on a request for revival. A request for revival. I ask you this question tonight, what expectations did you come to church with? Why did you come? Yes. And what did you come expecting? Yes, amen. Some of you, since you have been here, have experienced nothing and you expected nothing. Amen. Did you come to church tonight expecting that God was going to do something tonight like we had never seen? Did you come to the house of God expecting God's presence tonight to be more real than you have ever experienced them before? Yes. Yes. Can I say tonight, we need revival. Yes. Yes, sir. Many of us walked in the door and we walked in with an apathetic attitude. Yes. Yes. We walked in tonight and we had absolutely no concern, no care that God was going to meet with us at all. We walked in with an expectation that things would be as they have always been. Can I say that things are not as they have always been? Amen. Things have changed. Amen. Who was in this house in the first glory that she had? How do you see it now? Yes, sir. I'm not saying the man of God's changed. I'm not saying that the church has changed on its position and where it stands. I'm asking you, how do you see it now? Yes, sir. Amen. What do you see? What did you used to see, and what do you see right now? Amen. Let me say that there will never be a request for revival until there is a realization of the need for revival. Amen. Man will never ask for God to move until he realizes that he needs for God to move. Yeah. I told Brother Grubbs and Brother Keith the other day, I said, I feel like that God has been convicted me of not being convicted. Now that may not make sense to some of you, but some of you it does. Yes, sir. That God has been dealing with my heart about my heart not being dealt with. About things that used to be that no longer are. Amen. About things that used to be experienced that no longer are. I say tonight without apology that we have a good church, but we need revival. I say tonight without apology that we have a great pastor, but we need revival. I say tonight without apology that we have a great choir, but I'm going to tell you what we need more than a great choir. We need revival. I say tonight that we have a good country, and we have religious freedom in this country that we live in. But I'm telling you tonight that we need revival. We need revival personally. We need revival in this church. And we need revival in this country. And the world tonight needs to experience a revival from Almighty God. Let me say tonight that the only soul sleep that I believe in are the souls seated in the house of God that have been rocked to sleep by sin and society and apathetic attitudes. That's the only kind of soul sleep that I believe in tonight. That is where we are at. We need revival. Has there ever been a time that you've been closer to God? We need revival. Has there ever been a time, as Brother Keith preached this morning, that the cross has meant more to you than it means right now? If there has been that time, you are in desperate need of revival. Has there ever been a time when you love God more than you love Him right now? When you were devoted to God more than you are devoted to Him right now? Has there ever been that time? I'm asking you questions that I've asked myself that are very important, that you come to a conclusion and answer the question in your heart and in your mind. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? And if the answer is yes, then you need revival. A request for revival. I ask you this question. Some of you would say, Brother Josh, I've experienced revival in my life. I remember, and I don't mean this in the wrong way. It does not bother me for people to reminisce in the past. But it does bother me for people to live in the past, whether it be in the negative or the positive. If you got sin in the past, you can't live back there. But I'm going to tell you, if you got successes in the past, you can't live back there either. You can reminisce. You can think about it and praise God for it. And men of God will stand and tell stories. And my, how it stirs my heart. But I'm not living back there. I'm living right now. And what I need right now is to see God to move and to work in my life. Amen. When you experienced revival, why did you stop doing the things that you were doing that brought about that experience in your life? I remember this house in her first glory. I remember getting up in the morning at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. And I remember leaving the house at 8 o'clock from Fordsville and being in Hardinsburg, Jeremiah, at 8:30. And we would walk in and crawl in that prayer room upstairs. And we would pray from 8:30 till 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. And God would meet with us. And God would work in our heart. So I wonder, why did we stop doing those things? Have you ever heard men talk about experiences of revival? They said we would climb off on a rock hill. We would lay up there for days without food and water, and we would beg God to move, and people would get saved, and people would get right with God, and God's presence was real. My question is, why did we quit climbing on the rock hill? Why did we stop laying the food aside? Why did we stop laying aside the dainties of this world that we might experience and have God? My heart tonight, Brother Grubbs, is truly burdened for our generation, but not just our generation, but it's burdened for me and my family and my life. There are some things that God has done in the past that I want Him to do them again and exceed them. There are some things that God has done in the past, and the reasons why He did them in the past will be the same reasons why He'll do them in the future. Oh, we used to lay out all night and stare at the stars, and we'd cry out to God, and my, what a relationship we have with God. Why did you quit? Why did we stop? What was it that deterred us from the path that we were walking What was it? A request for revival. When you look at the characteristics of revival in the Bible, you'll find out that they occurred most of the time in moral and national depression. Whenever the nation was morally depressed and nor morally on a decline, there's no question that our nation is there tonight. There's no question tonight that our nation is in a moral mess. It is immoral. It is wicked and ungodly. We have had men sitting in the very White House that have committed wicked and ungodly sins and acts, and it has been approved of and made light of and laughed at and mocked at, but God thinks it's wicked. God thinks it's wicked. Revival, each one of them began in the Bible in the heart of a consecrated servant of God who became the energizing power behind that revival. We find out in the Word of God when revival took place, each revival rested on the Word of God. Most of them were the result of someone proclaiming God's Word with power and with the anointing of the power of God. Most of them that took place. We find out if you read about Josiah in 2 Chronicles 34. Me and Brother Jeremiah was talking about him last night. But Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe. You know what he said to him? You know what he cried out? He said, "Hey, I have found the book. And look what followed thereafter. Great revival took place. All kind of things had happened to that point. But all of a sudden he brings it up and he says, "Hey, look, I found the book." And they started reading the book and proclaiming the book. And there was a revival took place. Let me say that all revivals resulted in a return to the worship of God. Each of these revivals witnessed the destruction and tearing down of idols that existed in that day and time. Each of these revivals, there was a recorded separation from sin. Men moved away from sin and moved to sanctification and holiness in their life. There was a revival of people returning to obeying the laws of God. In each of these revivals, there was a restoration of great joy and gladness to the people of God. My, what sadness and sickness and unhappiness that is found in the house of God. In God's people that lack joy and happiness and something exciting. There's nothing that anybody would look around and desire in the house of God in most churches. I say this tonight, that each of these revivals were normally followed by a period of national prosperity. You know what would fix tonight the crisis that we are in financially in this country? God. You know what would fix all the debt ceilings that are constantly being raised? God would. A revival of holiness and getting right with God, that, my friend, would result in this nation once again being prosperous. Let me say, first of all, tonight in this request for revival, that there's a requirement for revival. The requirement to be revived, as old preacher Brother Beasley used to say that I went to church with, he said, before you can ever be revived, you got to be vibed. You see, the requirement for revival is that there has to have been some life already there. You can't re or be something again that you've never been before. And if we're ever going to experience revival, the first thing that we've got to understand, the requirement is that there has to have been some life there. If you look up the word revive in the Old Testament, Brother Kevin, it's translated over 200 times the word life. It's the word life. And what he's saying is, we need revival. We need to relive. You ever wonder why I can't just seem to get over the hump? Why I just can't ever seem to just get over and just do what I'm supposed to do? It may be that you've never experienced life. You can't be something again that you have never been. And God will not revive a dead sinner that is lost in trespasses and sin. There is nothing to revive. Nothing to revive. The only people that can experience revival is the people of God. You see tonight, it will reach out to sinners, no question. But revival's not for sinners. Revival's for me. And revival's for you that are saved by the grace of God. And I say again on this word of God that God cannot do anything for you if you have never already experienced the life that He offers. So I say tonight, we need revival. Who needs revival? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah said, the priests need revival. They quit sacrificing. He said, the pastors need revival. They're no longer leading the flock to the pasture. He said in Jeremiah, the prophets need revival. They had zipped their lips and quit preaching what thus saith the Lord. He said the people need revival. He said they committed two evils. He said they have forsaken the Lord God and they have built cisterns, their own cisterns that would hold no water. What I'm saying tonight, according to Jeremiah, in his day and hour, everybody needed it. Everybody needed revival. The requirement for revival, life, has to first be there. The root of revival. Where does revival come from? Where does revival come from? Does it come from a good message? Does it come from a good man of God? Does it come from you wishing and wanting it? Revival tonight comes from God. I know that's simple, but I'm going to tell you something. There has never been anybody that was real close to God that ever died. Now, I know Lazarus died and Jesus came and resurrected him, but I promise you this, you will not die spiritually when you're close to God. He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh unto you. That sounds like life to me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Walking with God, that sounds like life to me. And that is experience and comes from God Himself. We've sought for revival in good songs and thank God for good songs. We have sought for revival in an alliterated outline in a message. We've sought for revival in having some man pull in a motorhome and bring out some outlines and preach with the anointing of God. But revival is not found in those things. If we're going to experience revival, we must have God. We must have God tonight. We must have God. The root of revival is God. The restoration of revival. What does revival do? Well, revival puts things back as they should have been. You see tonight, for my body, life is normal. Anything outside of vibrant life for me tonight would be abnormal. And anything outside of vibrant spiritual life inside of you is abnormal. There's something wrong. Brother Travis, if Brother Travis, every time I turned around, was falling out in the floor and I was having to give him CPR and shock his heart back every time I turned around, if I was having to do that, don't you think at some point we might want to get him to the doctor and find out what's going on? But why is it every other week somebody has to get a hold of you, spiritually speaking, and do spiritual CPR on your cold heart so that you might have a little bit of life about you. And me tonight, I'm preaching to me. I need this. Why is that, Brother Jim? You would think after a little while we might want to go to the heavenly doctor and find out what's going on if every time I turn around, I got to give you spiritual CPR to try to revive your wicked and cold and unmoving heart. You see, revival stores things back as they should be. It is natural for a Christian to love life. It is natural for a Christian to experience life. That is a natural thing tonight. It is unnatural to walk in and the life that God has put inside of you to be suppressed. That's unnatural. What it means is you're sick. And I'll tell you what kind of sick you are. You're sin sick. As Brother Keith preached this morning, you're love sick. There's a problem there. The restoration of revival, it puts things back as they should be. When you have a man that seems lifeless, and you need to be real careful when you study revival in the Bible, because we say it means to bring back to life, but God determines whether or not someone is alive or not. When a man seems lifeless and work is done on him, God is the one that allows that to come back. And again, you cannot revive something that has never lived before. So I believe revival is not necessarily is just a death, but there is a sickness that overcomes us that drags us down to the point of death. And when somebody is sick and their health comes back, we say their health has been revived or restored unto them. That's what revival is, Brother Grubbs. The restoration of revival. Let me talk to you for a minute about the rivals of revival. What is it tonight that keeps us from experiencing revival? I believe you could sum it up in two words: sin and self.
Amen. That's it. Yes, sir.
We can blame it on Satan, but God has given, as the preacher said, all things that we need to be godly in this wicked world. So there's really nowhere else to lay the blame than sin and self. What did God say in Jeremiah or in Isaiah? He said, "My hand is not shortened that it cannot save." He said, "My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear." But he said, "Your sin and your iniquities have separated you from your God." And tonight I'm telling you that the arch enemy of you experiencing revival is sin. And it is self. It is what you look at in the mirror and what you enjoy throughout the day that are against the laws of God. And they tonight are rivaling and fighting against revival. The more sinful that things become, it seems like the less wicked they seem. Does that make sense? The worse that things get, the things we used to think were really bad don't seem as bad because it's not as bad as where it is now. And the more spiritual or less spiritual that things become, then it works in the same manner. You see, we used to be here with God, and the world was here. And the world goes here, and we go here. And we're the same distance from the world, but we're a lot further away from God. You see what I'm saying? We think staying above the world is the goal, but staying above the world is not the goal. Christ is the goal, and walking with God is the goal. That's where it's at tonight. We should be as far as the world has come in wickedness. We should be the oddest, strangest, most peculiar generation that has ever lived. Are we? Go back a few years. Go back 100 years. Look at the world. Look at Christianity. And look at the vast difference between them. And look how far the world has went. How vastly different are we from them today? We need revival. The arrival of revival. Let me talk to you tonight for a minute about the recipe for revival. And I don't mean that in a way that you can formulate God, but God formulated Himself. Because He said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, He said, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then and only then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If you were to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 7, if you were to look in this text, the entire text of 1 Chronicles 7 and what was going on, God had just filled His temple with His presence so much, Brother Grubbs, that the priests could not even minister. Solomon had just dedicated the temple, and now here the singer starts singing, and God's presence falls so much that the priests could not even minister. Just like the service, when the man of God keeps trying to preach and he can't preach, that's what happened then. And in the midst of all that was going on, thank God for mercy. Because God pulled Solomon aside and He said, let me tell you something, Solomon. Verse number 13. If the people ever get in a mess and they ever get in trouble, let me tell you what you need to do. If My people that are called by My name would humble themselves, pray, seek My face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. You see, God did not make excuse for them, but God knew His people, and they are prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That's me tonight. You're looking at that man. And God said, I know you're going to be like that. I know it's not an excuse, but I want you to know something. If you ever find yourself where you're not experiencing the presence of God, if you'll come to Me and you'll humble yourself and pray and seek My face and turn your back on your wicked ways, you can experience that again. Praise God. The recipe is seen in this verse. See, the first thing you got to do, you got to deal with pride. Pride. Humble yourself. Say, Brother Josh, I don't have pride. If you do your own thing and you sin, it is a prideful thing. Brother Farmer made this statement. I've made it 1,000 times. He said, when a man sins, he immediately enters into a mode of selfishness. And selfishness is nothing more than self-pride. So I'm not prideful, Brother Josh. Then why do you keep telling God you're going your own way? That's pride. What else tonight could look in the face of God and say, I'll do it My way. I'll do my own thing. I'm going to sin. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall. Leave me alone. Let me do. What else would do that? That's why God said, 6 things do I hate. Yea, 7 of them are an abomination unto Me. And in the list of those sins, He said, a proud look. It's to look in the face of God, knowing what He said, and to do your own thing. I say tonight, we need revival. The recipe, pride has to be dealt with. Prayer must be dealt with. Humble yourself and pray. Passion must be dealt with. He said, you must seek my face.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you seek somebody's face, you're not seeking their hand for what they can give you. When I seek by the face of my wife, I'm seeking to look at her because I love her. When you seek someone's face, you're not looking for what they have to give. You're looking for them. You see, we're all about the blessings of God. We're all about the handouts of Christianity. But God said, what you need to do if you want revival is forget about all those things and just come after me.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Just come after me. Just seek me. Just look for me. Not for what I can give you. Not for what I have to offer with my hand. But just so we can spend time together. Do you want God more than you want anything else?
Amen.
See what's on the face. The eyes are on the face. That's why the psalmist said, search me, O Lord. That's revival. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. I'm talking about seeking the face of God. His eyes are there. What else is there? His mouth is there on his face. The psalmist said, oh, that I would hear thy words, O Lord. That I would hear thy words. Seeking the face of God. What else is on the face? Well, close by are the ears on the face. You know, God desires for you to call upon Him. Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, seeking the face of God. What else? The nose. The Bible talks about our life being a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. Talking about seeking His face. Revival. We need revival.
Yes, sir.
The recipe for revival. There's a passion. Let me say that there is a path. Because He said you're going to have to turn from your wicked ways. Do you want God to move in your life more than He has ever moved? I'm asking you that question legitimately tonight. Do you? Do I? Do we want God to move more than He has ever moved? If we do, we are going to have to change our path. We are going to have to turn from our wicked ways and find a new path for our feet to walk in. If we're going to experience revival. We say you cannot separate the path and the way of God from the Word of God. Say, Brother Josh, I don't know which way to go. Well, put this down and walk in it. Right here. I'm not sure which way to go. Where do I need to go? He gave us the road map. And He gave us the vehicle, the Spirit of God, to get us to where He wants us to go. He's given it all tonight.
Amen.
Everything we need. What is the reason that we need revived? You know, men make statements, and I've said this, and I understand where it's coming from, that we need to experience constantly a spirit of revival. And I understand where that's coming from. But I go back to the CPR guy that keeps falling out in the floor and we don't know what's wrong with him. That's not normal. The reason why do we need revival? Well, a church, listen to what I'm saying tonight. A church, by definition of what revival is in this Bible, should not constantly need to be revived.
Amen.
Not that we don't need to constantly live in that spirit and that attitude, but we should not constantly need for God to have to pick us up. When revival, hey, you listen to what I'm saying tonight. I'm in this Bible. When God would send revival to nations, most of the time it lasted throughout that generation. And I'm not saying we can't get in sin and don't need God. All I'm saying is that there is something wrong with a generation that constantly has to be kicked and picked up and pushed along. Something wrong. Something wrong. You see, one man said a church should be a group of soldiers, not a hospital of invalids. We have been called to do the war of God, but we spend so much time in the hospital fixing wounds of our own making that we never have time to get wounded in the battle. We blame the condition of our churches upon society. But society should be blaming its condition upon the church.
Amen.
We blame the condition of our church on society. But society's problem is the church. The reason revival is needed is the opposite 2 Chronicles 7:14. Because men have lifted themselves up in pride instead of humbling themselves before God. Men tonight have ceased to pray instead of praying without ceasing. Men tonight have sought to save face instead of seek the face of God. We're more interested tonight in what somebody out there is going to think than we are what God in heaven thinks. And man does look on the outward appearance, but don't forget that God looks on the heart. We've turned to our wicked ways instead of from our wicked ways. I'm talking about me tonight. I ask you the question, do you need revival? What are some of the results of revival? Well, when revival comes, wickedness ends. What did Josiah do, Brother Jeremiah? He went and tore down the groves and all the idols. And you know what some of us need to do tonight? We need to go home and tear the idols down. We need to reach in our heart in the things that we have set up above God, that we have set up and worshiped in our life, and tear them down and grind them to powder and set them on fire. When he got done with them, you know what they had to do when they wanted to get away from God? They had to make new idols. They couldn't go pull out the ones from the closet because he didn't leave them to pull out of the closet because he ground them to powder and he set them on fire and he got rid of every one of them and there was nothing to go back to. Nothing to go back to. We need revival. When revival comes, wickedness ends. When revival comes, there's a way that will be entered. And you know what that way is? It's the old paths. It's the way back up to the rock hill. It's the way back out to the starry lit night. It's the way back to the back closet that you don't go to anymore. It's the way back to the Word of God when you used to read it and cry over it and beg God to give you something out of it. That's the path. It's the old path that Jeremiah cried for. And he said, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. And he said they were the good way. And then he said, walk therein. Walk therein. When you were closer to God than you are right now, what path was your feet walking in? I asked myself that question last night, Brother Kevin, and God broke my heart. And I thank God that He did. I'm still not tender to where I want to be, but I'm thankful for troubling in my soul. Because, Brother Jim, I was scared to death, and I was scared because I wasn't scared. Because my apathetic attitude did not bother me. My non-concern did not bother me. But Brother Keith, God has been bothering me. And I'm thankful for it tonight. And you know what He's telling me? Ask for the old paths. Did you ever feel me and experience me more than you do right now? What were you doing? Well, I was laying down there by the pond behind the preacher's house on his land back there on my face on a towel before God saying, God, fill me with your Spirit. You know how long it's since I've been to the pond, Brother Tarvin? Couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you. I almost cried when I moved from that house. Because God met with me down there. And I knew it wouldn't be as easy to get down there. And He don't have to meet with me by the pond. But there was something about me going down there that I met with God. And I quit going. And Jeremiah said, ask for the old path. What were you doing, Brother Kevin, when you were closer to God than you ever have been in your life? And I understand cares of life. Paul talked about it. I understand jobs. I understand all of those things. But what happened to our heart? It wasn't what I was doing, but it was the motivation. It was the desire for God more than anything else, that God would move and that God would meet with me and that God's presence would be real. And yes, there was times that I had to walk by faith. And yes, there was times that I prayed and didn't feel God. But I kept going back and I kept going back. And God moved and did miraculous things in my life. What I'm saying tonight to us, church, is we need revival. We need revival. The results of revival, wickedness will be ended. There's a way that will be entered, and that way is the old path. It's the way that you used to walk. Let me say, the results of revival has always been and always will be that worship will be enjoyed. You see, because when revival comes, you get your shout back and you get your song back. The people of God said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And I'm telling you tonight, we're in a strange land, but you know how you can sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Experience revival. Let God move in your life. Let God work in your life. Walk in the old paths. Walk in the old paths. Experience what you used to experience. Go back to where you used to be. Get back to Bethel. End the wickedness. This Bible talks about lifting up holy hands. You know why? You know there's the worst thing I think about coming to church, the worst thing that can happen when I come to church, the best thing that could happen is God meets with us. But I don't think there's anything worse, Brother Kevin, than sitting over there and not being able to worship. Now, some of you probably don't care if you get to worship or not, but I care. I care. And I'd sit over there with sin in my heart and ungodliness in my life, and that shout be suppressed, and that song be suppressed. And as Brother Keith said this morning, we'd sing about Calvary. We would sing about an old rugged cross that's the emblem of suffering and shame. And I'd sit there and it'd mean nothing to me. It would do nothing for my heart. There's nothing worse than not being able to worship the Creator. But when revival takes place, when revival takes place, you, sir, you, ma'am, just even you, might do the DW jig. That's the David Wells jig. You might do it. Say, not me. Hey, get revived. You pull a man out of a drowning pond, and you revive him back to life. You know what he's going to do? He's going to be a little bit excited. You take a man that's on the verge of death and you start working on him. You start doing things to him. You start bringing back that life and he comes to. All of a sudden, you know what happens? He might get a little bit excited. Amen. We stayed down there, Brother Steve, in the hospital with Miss Fawn, didn't we? But I'm telling you what, we came back to church when she started getting better and there was people shouting all over this building. You know why? Because our life had been revived. There was life that was there and God brought it back and we were excited. And if you ever get your life spiritually revived, it'll bring about a shout. It won't be long. You'll jump up and say, hallelujah, I'm feeling good again. Thank God. I feel like serving God again. I feel like living for God again. It'll bring back a shout. Amen. Those dreary days that you walk through life seems like that everything is falling apart. You'll be walking around singing Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. The song comes back when revival takes place. That's the result of revival. Worship once again can be enjoyed. Did not the psalmist say, wilt thou not revive us again that the offerings might get better? And the offerings did get better when God revived His people. You go look at it. I read through all the accounts of revival this afternoon, Brother Kevin, and you know what happened almost every time? They sent people out, took up money, and rebuilt the house of God. Money started coming again. But that wasn't the result of revival and the reason for revival. Say, well, sinners will get saved. Thank God for sinners getting saved. That's not the result of revival. He said, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice, may rejoice, may rejoice in thee. And I'm saying tonight that we've lost our shout. We've lost our song. Because sin has robbed away and made anemic our spiritual life. And I say tonight, as humbly as I know how, we need revival. The results of revival, wickedness will be ended. A way will be entered. Worship will be enjoyed. And the Word of God will be exalted in our life and in the house of God. This church, Brother Grubbs, has been built around this right here. Preacher said this many times, and I'll tell people this. We're not a school that happens to have a church. We're a church that happens to have a school. We're not a radio ministry that happens to be associated with the church. We're a church that happens to have a radio ministry associated with it. And you want to see true revival? It'll be when this gets exalted. Now, I have a question for you and for me tonight. Is this Bible in its rightful place in your life? Is the Bible in its rightful place in your life? I asked myself this question last night, Brother Keith, and I had to get right with God. You know how to know if it's in its rightful place? If you're doing everything in it that you know to do. And the preacher said this, and I'm not saying this to get on anything or anybody. But he's made the statement that there was a time in this church when nobody had televisions. And I didn't come tonight to preach against TV. That's not why I'm here. I'm preaching on revival. But I'm telling you, if God told you not to have one through this book and through the spirit of conviction, and you got one now, you need revival. And whatever it is that you might be able to categorize to know that God has done, God has said, God has worked through that. Now there's some things in black and white. I don't have to look at this Bible. I don't have to wonder and wait for the Spirit of God to deal with me about country music. I'm not waiting for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has dealt with me about country music, but He didn't deal with me about country music before I started listening to it. He dealt with me about it after I started listening to it. And the reason He did after is because I knew I wasn't supposed to.
Right.
Because that Bible said that I'm not to let any wicked thing in my mind or ear.
Right.
So there's some things in black and white. And if that's one of your problems tonight, then you need revival. Because God has already said it. God has already established it. If God's established this through something in your heart, through His Word, through the Word of God being preached by the man of God, or through the Spirit of God by way of weights or sins that so easily beset you, whatever it may be, if you have allowed them back into your life, the Word of God does not have its rightful position in your life. It does not have its rightful position. We see the results of revival. The reach of revival. 2 points and I'm done. The reach. What is the reach of revival? Well, revival will reach your circle of influence. When Josiah experienced revival, who else experienced revival? The whole nation. Because he was the king. And there might have been some people that didn't like it, but guess what they did? They cleaned house. Because revival, Brother Justin, was affected by Josiah's circle of influence. Now, what's your circle of influence tonight? Right here. What's yours tonight? It's right here. What's yours tonight? It's right there. What's your circle of influence? It's right there. You know, revival in my heart will clean up some things for them. That's the reach of revival. We think about sinners getting saved. I'm thinking about my family getting cleaned up. Josiah, when he experienced revival in his own heart, he was the king. And it reached out to the whole nation. You know what everybody in the whole nation did? Everybody cleaned their idols out. Because his revival reached out. You know what some of you need tonight? Some of us dads? We need to experience revival. And that revival needs to reach out to our circle of influence. The people you work around. Preacher talked about getting right with God. When he got right with God, we talked about those times when we got right with God, and people were like, man, whoa, what's wrong with him? Oh, he's just alive. You're used to seeing him dead. I came back in 2002 from South Carolina, and I could not sit on the pew. I couldn't. Every service, I had to stand up, testify what God was doing in my heart. And Brother Farmer came to me and said, Brother Josh, I hope you never lose that.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what happened? I lost it. Because other things took priority in my life. Not only will the reach of revival affect your circle of influence, but the lack of revival and deadness will also affect your circle of influence. Some of us beat our head against the wall with our children. Why are they like that? Well, why are we the way we are? Why are they so wicked? Well, why am I so wicked? Why is he so hard-headed? Why am I so hard-headed? It affects other people. Brother Josh, we need revival. I need it. You need it. You young man, we need it. We need God once again to move in our heart and life. The reach of revival, last of all, I'm done. Rebellion against revival. Rebellion against revival. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 6:16, he said to ask for the old paths. Stand and see and ask for the old paths. And then he said to walk therein. But what did the people say in the end of that verse? Anybody know what they said? Anybody know? Why don't you turn there, Jeremiah chapter 6. Real quick, I'm done. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. My, what an opportunity. But they said, we will not walk therein. And Jeremiah said, also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, because of that, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will even bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. He said in verse 21, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together, the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. Brother Keith, did you hear that? The fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. Because they said, we will not. God said, and we said, I will not. And the man of God said, and we said, I will not. And the Sunday school teacher said, and we said, I will not. And the fathers and the sons both together fail, not by society, but by the stumbling block that God set in their path. Rebellion against revival. We tonight, as the people of God, are in desperate need of God. I'm talking to you tonight from my heart, from my soul tonight. We are in desperate need of God. If we refuse to walk therein and do not experience revival, my children will not make it. Now that may not mean anything to you, but it means a whole heap to me tonight. If I don't let God do something in my old cold heart, there's a good chance that my son's heart will be stony as a rock. We need revival. And the psalmist said, he requested of God. He said, wilt thou? His heart, I believe, was broken. Wilt thou, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. You see, the word again in that text brings about with it a possibility. Because it tells us that God has done it before and that God can do it again. I'm going to tell you something. There's another word, Miss Amy, we looked at years ago in that verse. You remember when we were trying to structure that verse out, I'd asked you about it. There's another word, Brother Kevin, in that verse that carries with it a possibility too. And that word is not. Wilt thou not revive us again? And you know what the again and the not hinges upon? Hinges upon what you and me are going to do with our sin. Say, Brother Josh, I've been closer to God than I am tonight. So have I. And I'm telling you, that takes a lot to say in front of a group of 180 people. There's times that my heart has been fonder toward God. I'll admit that tonight. And what I'm telling you from the desperation of my heart is that I need God to do something. And I've asked God to start it with me. But if He wants to start it with you and let it run over here on me, I'm okay with that too. But church, we need God. Thank God for the breath of God the last few weeks that has blown through here. But I don't want to every week have to be picked up. I want God to resurrect the things that I've let get sick in my life. The things that I once enjoyed. The things I once involved myself in. The things that I used to do. Them old paths that I used to walk down. By the way, can I say something real quick? And I'm almost done. Those old paths are older than you. Somebody cleared them out. And they are easy to walk in. Those old paths are older than you, Brother Tarvin. They was shouting before we ever came along. I've heard him talk about some of his old family members used to shout the house down. And I know revival's not just about shouting, but he did say, thy people may rejoice in thee. What I'm saying tonight, church, and I'm done. I've been longer than I intended to be. We need revival. God speaks to your heart. God doesn't speak to your heart. But you can recognize and realize tonight that there is something wrong spiritually with you. Don't rebel. Don't say, we will not walk therein. Do you know why this church has fought hell by the acre in the last 3 years? Does anybody know why? Can I tell you why? Because we've had people that have said, we will not walk therein. That's why. And you know what's coming to those people? Judgment. Every time in this Bible, when God offered revival and His people rejected it, it left God no room, no other alternative, Brother Justin, but to send judgment. And tonight, I promise you this, and I promise tonight from my heart, I don't want that. I need you. I need this church. I need this man of God. I need a spirit of worship. I need the Word of God to have free course to move and to work. That's what I need. My family needs it. My circle of influence needs that. The people that I can affect need that. And it will not happen if we don't get God. I can't merit God, but I tell you what I can do. Just like the old ship, with the sail. Can't move itself. All he can do is sit out in the water and position that sail in a way for the wind to blow. And when the wind blows, it sends him down the direction that he desires to be. And Lord, I can't do anything to make you move tonight. But by your grace, I want to set the sails of my life up in such a way that your wind can blow and drive me wherever you desire me to go.